Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now talking with TD. I am your host, Teron Davenport. It is a great opportunity to talk shop. So much going on. You got the free agent whirlwind that the Titans and the rest of the NFL have going on. But you know what? This is a receiver edition of this show.
It is, man.
I got, as you hear him in the background, I got Titans receiver Chris Sanders. And I didn't say former because you're once a Titan, you're always a Titan. That's the that's what they tell me. So we got him coming on. We got Cornell Powell out of Clemson. We got Dwayne Eskridge out of Western Michigan. And we got Demetri Felton out of UCLA. This is going to be an awesome show. I can't wait to get it going. But you know what? Before we get into all that, you know what time it is, Elijah? What are we?
What did it do, man?
Yeah. All right, so we are going to bring in Chris Sanders. I mean, you know, some people know him as Rolando Blackman. Others know him as Clyde Drexler. I know him as Chris Sanders. What's going on, man?
Man, what's good, man? You know you look like Robert Parrish, man. As long as you didn't call me Gary Coleman, I'm good, Doc. I'm just, I'm tripping at what's going on in the NFL, man. So many trades and so many people signing and, you know, we're wondering what the Tennessee Titans are doing, man. I'm tripping, man. What's going on with you, boss?
Hey, man, it's crazy. And I tell you, this right here is the clear sign of a team that was like, you know what?
Yep.
Offense was good. Defense, I mean, dadgummit. And
man,
I think
you put a dang gummit on it.
Yeah, exactly. Had to. My last receiver coach in college was from Arkansas, and we all used to, believe it or not, there was a time when TD, when I used to curse, right? I had a foul mouth, you know what I mean? But he helped me fix that. So you'll hear me say a darn it or a dad gummit or frippin' or freaking those kind of things. I don't curse, man. You know, couldn't do that in the house either. I get popped in the mouth. But anyway, that's right. Anyway, to keep on track here, all of those words I said is exactly what the Titans must have been saying about the secondary all week. Man. They cleaned house.
Man, Butler's gone. Adoree's gone. Hey, quiet as kept. Me and you need to just sign up and be corner. Can you backpedal? Can you break on the ball? I mean, you got that one bar face mask. Come on, man. We got to do something, man.
Look, man, I got the one bar face mask, but you'll be getting all the pass breakups with that Doug Williams face mask. The one where he had the broken jaw.
That was terrible. You had the Joe Theismann face mask.
Oh, looking like a duck.
Trying to play cornerback with your shirt tucked in with the one. Come on, man.
One guy who doesn't have either one of those face masks is Janoris Jenkins. So he signed with the Titans. It was a move that kind of came out of nowhere. Well, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, it's pretty good. I mean, he's been around the league for a little bit, and I think he's going to come and bring that tenacity that Malcolm Butler had. I mean, I just watched him a little bit. I know he has decent speed, but we got to figure out a way to get some corners that can run with these cats in the AFC South. That's what I'm wondering. That's what I'm concerned about because, we're getting a corner that, you know, some people are familiar with, but we need a corner that can run with these wide receivers in the AFC South because there's some cats that can run, and we got to get somebody that can be a shutdown corner because with the guys we just signed with Dupree and Autry to team up with Simmons, and you got a secondary that can run with some of their fast receivers, now you got a recipe for success.
I tell you a guy that can run with them.
Who that?
Not in free agency, but the draft.
Who that?
Northwestern. Yep, a fellow Big Ten guy. Greg Newsom II. That dude, he's sweet with it. We'll get into that another time, but we got to talk about what's left, right? So, Jayon Brown signed with the Titans. He came. That was a bargain, like in the fullest
bargain, man.
Big time bargain. I thought he was going to get a lot more money. 1 year, $5.25 million. Did he absolutely have to be brought back?
I mean, I don't think it's that he wanted to go anywhere. I know he wouldn't really want to stay here. I just think that if you look at it, the market of his position and the size that he has, I don't think a lot of teams wanted to sign him because maybe they didn't fit their system. So now his backup is against the wall. So now the Titans probably came to him and said, okay, we got a one-year deal for you for 5.25 when he's not getting anything in the free agency-wise. So because with a guy like that that makes plays and is always around the ball for this Tennessee Titans scheme, it was great for here. But if you plug him somewhere else, do you think he would be that successful? That's kind of what I was thinking why he didn't get the big payday.
Yeah, and I'm curious about that because that's something that I talked to him about. And, he said that, well, we, talking about the Titans, have right. used multiple schemes and we do a lot, so I'll be successful anywhere. It's just crazy. I kind of scratch my head because I see, Matt Milano right. get a buku million-dollar deal and – here, Jayon Brown. Like, I thought that deal right there was the start of the ending for Titans and Jayon Brown, but he's back, so that's great to see. But in addition to that, right, you have other right. moves. Jonnu Smith is not a Titan anymore, but Jeff Swaim and Anthony Firkser are back. What are your thoughts on Jonnu Smith not being with the team?
You know what I thought when you have Jonnu Smith? Jonnu Smith is a freak of an athlete. He's guys that you can split him out, you can put him in the backfield and do some things like that. This makes me think that when you're signing Firkser and you're signing Pruitt, is the offense going to change a little bit? That's kind of what I'm wondering. That, I know sometimes they would spread the tighting out a little bit, but maybe they're keeping guys in and going to 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends, and maybe keeping, the identity of the the identity of the Tennessee Titans team is run first, pass second. So I maybe it's because of that they're thinking, okay, we don't need Jonnu Smith. Yeah, he's a great athlete. Yeah, he's a great asset to the team. But maybe our focus and maybe our vision of the offense is going to be shifted a little bit, and we don't really need that type of tight end. We need two tight ends that can block and maybe catch the ball once in a while.
If you need two tight ends that could block, I don't know that Firkser, fills that role. But, we'll see.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it's interesting.
Moving on to another part of it, and you kind of touched on it, Bud Dupree. That was the signing. And we had a conversation a couple of days ago, and I thought it was interesting, and I think it's something that we should kind of turn to the show, and that's just, what are your question marks about Bud Dupree at this point as far as immediately being impactful?
Okay. Sometimes we got to get away from the name. I mean, he's a dog. I mean, you talk about him earning respect around the league, that's exactly what he is. I mean, he's got a motor. He's great with his hands. He's great with his feet. His change of direction is absolutely outstanding. But when you get hurt week 12 and you try to come back off an ACL, you hurt your ACL, you try to come back and play, especially at his position, I am concerned because he's got to start, stop. Yeah, he uses his hands well, but you got to change directions. You got to lean on people. You got to do all these things. And when you're coming off an ACL injury, in your mind you're thinking, I don't want to tear this thing again. If I turn this way, if I turn that way, if I twist or I turn, I have the potential of tearing it again. That's the concern. That's the only thing that I'm concerned about. I'm not concerned about this guy's leadership. I'm not concerned about this guy's worst ethic. I'm not concerned about all these things. The one thing that I'm concerned about is, can that knee hold up to the punishment that it's about to get ready for?
And you're very definitive about that. So I just want to make it clear, this is coming from someone who has actually been there and done that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I watched Kevin Dyson come off an injury. And I know that's two different positions, but I watched Kevin Dyson struggle a little bit coming off that knee injury. It's not that he wasn't playing well. It's not that he couldn't, turn and run routes. It was about having confidence in the knee. And I think that when Dupree comes back, everybody says, I'm going to be ready for camp. Everybody says that my rehabilitation is coming great. But when you start getting in practice, when you start getting in OTAs, when you start getting into all these things, can that knee hold up against that punishment? That's why I have a question mark.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I get that. But, I think, when it comes to having to turn the corner, we talked about this, right?
Yeah.
And plant on your outside leg. He's playing both sides. So, you can't just say, okay, well, he tore his left ACL or right ACL. So just no, he's going to, no matter what, be on that. So I think that's something to look at. And then just having to drive against another player, that's critical too. I mean, do you think at some point this year you'll see the real Bud Dupree?
I don't think you're going to see him until maybe late into the season because, first of all, it's not just battling the wear and tear of the knee. It's about battling the mindset of thinking, okay, can I do that move again? Okay, this is when I got hurt on that move. So he's got to fight the battle through that in his mind, not just the physical part. I mean, if you look at a couple of years ago when Conklin got hurt, Conklin was a monster. But then all of a sudden he hurt his knee, but it took him about 7 to 8 games to get the confidence that he had. Not just in his knee, but having the confidence in his mind to say, you know what, I understand I got hurt. I understand that I tore my ACL, but I got to forget about it and play and just take a risk. And that's exactly what Dupree is going to have to do because I'm going to tell you something. Watching him play on tape, this guy's relentless. This guy turns the corner. This guy plants and he goes. Can he still do that? Can he plant? Can he lean? Can he take the brutal punishment that he took this year before he got hurt?
Yeah, I think that's the key thing. So we mentioned all of those moves. Well, one we left out because I know that, you know, it's something that was prime material for Sanders and Saudi. So, Elijah, man, hook it up, please. Yeah, you hear. I'm mad. That's Chris Sanders saying he's mad. So why is Sanders salty this week?
Man, I am so salty because Jonnu Smith and Corey Davis didn't get signed. And everybody keeps saying, well, we can replace him. Oh, we can get somebody in. We can get another receiver. We can get another tight end. Those are some dogs now. I mean, when you have a team with those kind of athletes on the team, I know Corey Davis struggled earlier in his career, but he had a great season this year. You got Jonnu Smith, who's the best red zone tight end in the league. I mean, not just in the world, in the league. I mean, that means he's a dog. He is a dog. But the one thing that you're going to miss is the camaraderie of the Tennessee Titans. Look it. When you had the receiver, let's talk about the receiver position. You have Corey Davis complimented with A.J. Brown. You have Jonnu Smith. You have all those weapons, and you have those guys that work with each other. They work in California on the offseason, and they work with each other through COVID. Now you got to bring somebody else in and have to learn that all over again, and that's why I'm salty, because you breaking up the camaraderie of the Tennessee Titans offense. Because I'm mad.
I'm mad. So you hear it. Sanders is salty. That's the reason why. And I get it, man. It makes sense. Jeez. It definitely makes sense. Well, you know, I appreciate you coming on, Chris.
Always.
We do this
always
every week. This is what we do.
You know this, man.
You know this.
Hey, we just like Ray Charles. We make it do what it do, baby.
Now, one of the things I will say this before we get off, you know, the Titans have kind of turned things around a bit in free agency because, you know, on Tuesday, you know what a lot of the Titans fans were saying, right?
What was it? Oh.
Throw the towel! Throw the damn towel, Rock! Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is what we do, man. We just have fun. So I appreciate you, Chris.
Man, always, my friend. Love the show, man.
All right, man. Much love.
All right, boss.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Okay, back from the break. Talking with TD. California love, you know it. You hear it. That means we're going to the West Coast, man, the West Side. Going to bring him Demetri Felton, UCLA. I don't know what to call you, man. Running back, receiver, return. I don't know what to call you. I'll let you describe it. But what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm doing awesome, man. I'm doing awesome. This is kind of like a receiver edition for me. So, you know, getting to talk to a bunch of receivers and yourself. Dwayne Eskridge, Cornell Powell. We got Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver, on every week. I played the receiver position, so this is like heaven for me, man.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So let's get into it, right? As I said in the intro, I don't know what to call you. So for you, how do you categorize yourself as a player?
I would say first and foremost, I'm a football player.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm just a football player that's able to be very versatile. You know, I can play running back or receiver, and I can do both of those positions at a very high level.
No doubt. So what would you say as far as your ability? Because not everybody could do that, right? A lot of receivers, mm-hmm. they like to catch the football and turn into a running back. You know, you could be a running back and turn into a receiver out of the backfield. What is it about your skill set that makes you so uniquely able to bounce back and forth between them both?
I think it has a lot to do of just, you know, hard work and repetition. You know, I worked really hard at trying to get my routes crisp and nice, and I also worked really hard to be able to be a running back, be able to get the ball and run the ball inside and out and do everything that it takes to, you know, be a running back. So I would say, you know, it just took a lot of hard work and dedication, and now I'm able to do both of those positions very well.
No doubt. And where did you weigh in? Like, what are your official measurements?
Yeah, I weighed in at the Senior Bowl at about 190.
Okay.
Yep.
And is it 5'9 or 5'10? I don't want to take an inch away from you.
I'll say 5'9. I'm not worried about it.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Let's go back. Let's go back to your days, right? You know, one of your breakout game. Let's talk about that one, right? And mm-hmm. and 67-63. That's kind of like a college basketball score, but
yeah,
that was the score against Washington State. I mean, sheesh, 100-yard kick return, 94-yard touchdown catch and run. What would you say? Like, that's the best game to kind of showcase your explosiveness, your playmaking ability.
Definitely. You know, I feel like that game, I was really able to show that I can be useful in all phases of the game, you know, running, catching, and on special teams. I was really able to just showcase everything that I was able to do. So that was, you know, very awesome for me to be able to do that. And I just hope that people are able to see that, you know, I can affect the game many ways.
And what about, because that was a game where you, yeah, I told your father that you were going to win that game, that your team was going to win it, and it got ugly, but you guys eventually worked your way back. I would imagine, like, your relationship with your dad is a pretty strong one. He's a Navy chaplain.
Yes, sir. Definitely. You know, my dad's my best friend, you know, and he's a great father. Took care of me, my mom, my two sisters. Always made sure we had everything we needed. So, you know, he's a great man, and I'm so glad that I have him in my life.
That's awesome. And especially, like, in this day and age where there can be questions, right, about a guy coming into the league and not being able to handle it, et cetera, but it seems like mm-hmm. you come from a very solid background. So that's a really good thing. That's a feather that should be in your cap. One of your dad's saying, preparation plus opportunity equals destiny. I think that was – that was an awesome thing to see. What does that mean to you when you hear that?
When I hear that, you know, it just makes me think about, you know, everything I went through just on the field to get where I'm at now. You know, I prepared. I always prepared. So, you know, that's one thing that I can control is my preparation. And, you know, you can't really control when you're going to get that opportunity, but you can always be ready. And so that's something that my dad always, you know, stress to me is just to be prepared. So when that opportunity comes, you're able to be great, you know, and you can fulfill your destiny.
No doubt. Oh, go ahead. Sorry about that.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, so, you know, that's something that, a saying that's really close to my heart and just something that I can really use to live by every day.
Now, at UCLA, Deshaun Foster.
Yes, wow.
Former NFL back. I remember him with the Panthers. UCLA grad. How has he been as far as influencing you and helping you develop as a running back?
Man, he's been great. You know, even before I was in the running back room, he was so helpful to me. And, you know, just trying to mentor me, helping me out at UCLA. And so when I was finally able to move into the running back room, you know, it was just awesome to be learning from him day in and day out. And he always just stressed me that you got to be a bell cow running back, somebody who's able to do everything. And so that's something that I've always been trying to work on. And just, you know, being able to do what he did at UCLA. You know, he was a great running back for the Bruins. And, you know, he was a great running back in the NFL. So just being able to learn from someone who's in my shoes and somebody who's able to go as far as he did, you know, it was a huge help for me.
No doubt. And I'm glad you mentioned that, someone who was in your shoes, because I think the regular fan and even a lot of media, they fail to understand the importance of a guy who actually been there and done that. And yes, I'm glad you mentioned that with Deshaun Foster. Now, Chip Kelly in the offense, very dynamic, gives you a chance to make a lot of plays. How do you feel that that really helped you be showcased as a playmaker?
Definitely. You know, I feel like Coach Kelly did a tremendous job just, you know, giving me the opportunity to, you know, showcase all my talents and all the phases of the game that we were talking about earlier. You know, he really was did a really good job at showing that I can run the ball, catch the ball, and be effective in special teams. So I couldn't thank him enough for that.
No doubt about it. We're talking to Demetric Felton, playmaker out of UCLA. With that, I would imagine you feel that you've left UCLA in a better shape than it was when you first got there, right?
Yes, sir. You know, that's something that I've been taught, you know, ever since I was young, just always leaving the place better than you found it. And, you know, I definitely feel like I did that. You know, those guys, you know, I love my teammates. I love UCLA. And I'm so excited to see what they're going to do next year because I know they got a really good team coming back. And I just know I was able to leave a little imprint on their lives by just how I worked and, you know, just showing them, you know, if you work hard and you stay consistent, you can do anything. And so I'm really excited for those guys. And, you know, I'm just glad I was able to play football with them.
And one of the guys that did that before you, actually just this time last year, was Joshua Kelly. Mm-hmm. We had him on the show last year when he was coming out. Have you been able to talk to him? And if so, any nuggets you've been able to gather?
Definitely, man. You know, I've just been asking him questions about the process because, like you said, he was in my shoes a year ago. So definitely calling him about the Senior Bowl, just, you know, what was his mindset, like how did it go, what are some tips you would offer, and especially, you know, being a rookie in the NFL. You know, I'm just trying to hear how it was from him, you know, some of his difficulties, things he may have struggled with, and just things that he would say to himself if he had a chance to before he went in. So just really trying to gain that information from him.
I like that. I like that. And then in watching your game, you know, you go back and look at notes, and I like to just, like, tag words to guys. And the word that I tagged to you was slippery. And I think that's because of the vision, the instincts. And here's an example. That kick return, right? You layered a cut on top of a jump cut. Number 42, I felt bad for him, you know what I mean? Because, it didn't look too good. And then before that, you've done that in other games. So I have to ask you, the vision, instincts, the slippery approach to the game, how did you develop that?
Man, I mean, it's really hard to say. You know, I can only say that it was God-given ability, you know, something that I was blessed with, but also it's something that I tried to work on while I'm just watching film, just seeing how to get out of situations, how to break another tackle, how to gain an extra yard. That's something I pay really close attention to and just try to get better at each game I play, whether it's practice or in the games. I'm always looking for ways to get better.
I like that. And then moving forward to the Senior Bowl, I thought it was really interesting, right, because I actually sat with your agent during one of the practices, and I just casually met him. I was like, yo, man, that guy right there, I see him at receiver, running back, he's pretty good. And it just so happened to be you were one of his clients, so I thought that was pretty cool. But how did that Senior Bowl experience go for you?
Oh, I think it went really well. You know, I feel like I was really able to show that versatility. And, you know, Jim Nagy was like, hey, I want to bring you on as a receiver. And I was like, all right, let's do it. You know, I always had that in my back pocket. I was recruited at UCLA as a receiver first, so it was something that I was very familiar with. And so I was really excited about being able to showcase that part of my game.
But you got to work with the running backs, too. Was that something? Did you go to them, hey, man, I want to work with the RBs? Or what was to that process?
Yeah, I definitely. I told Jim Nagy I wanted to work with them, and I also spoke with the Dolphins staff. Just told them I wanted to show, you know, I was able to do running back as well. So it was really great for me to be able to just be able to do both positions and show that I can do both of those very well.
And for a guy that, you know, has played running back as well as receiver, I thought your releases were advanced, you know, in one-on-ones. Your battles with T.J. Graham, the Oregon receiver, I guess, you know, it's that Pac-12 on Pac-12 crime. I don't know, but they were really interesting. Were there any guys that stood out that you got to go against?
Yeah, definitely Thomas Graham. You know, it was great to go against him. And also Trey Brown from Oklahoma. He was really good. And every time, you know, I lined up against him, it was a battle. So it was really fun for me to compete because I love competing against great guys. So being able to go up against, you know, the best of the best in that class was really fun for me.
And then you were working out with Yo Murphy. And it's really interesting because, you know, I know those guys down there, Riddell Anthony as well. I don't know Randy Moss, but he was you're working with him too. I think those are some standout options to work with. What are some of the things you guys were able to accomplish, just even from a physical and mental standpoint?
Yeah, I would say from a physical standpoint, you know, just learning how to train like a pro. You know, that's something that, you know, you don't really learn growing up just throughout your years. And so being able to go there, be on a mission every day, that was really oriented towards you and your body and not just like a group was very good for me. And I definitely benefited from it. You know, Yo's a great guy. Rydell's a great guy. They both helped me out tremendously. So I was definitely blessed and thankful to be able to go out there and work with them too. And then working out with Randy Moss, man, like it doesn't get much better than that. Right. You know, arguably one of the best receivers of all time. Just being able to see how he works, learn from him, and be able to take it from the field and learning from him straight to the Senior Bowl, like that was a great help for me. So I was definitely thankful for that.
Yeah, no doubt. It seemed like you and Eskridge together, man, you guys were really lighting things up. It was fun to watch. For you, their projections are all over, and I'm not talking about draft. I'm talking about like where you'll play. You know, some say slot, some say running back. I think it's really the value of versatility just to be able to say all of those things. But what's the feedback that you're getting as far as how you will be used at the next level?
Yeah, I would, you know, I would agree with you and say that it's pretty much all over the place. You know, some teams think I'm a running back who could, you know, split out wide and be able to win one-on-one against linebackers and just, you know, be able to move me around the offense, and other teams think I'm a slot receiver. And so, you know, I really have no issue with it. Like I said, I feel like I can play both positions very well. So I'm just excited to see where I go and how the team uses me.
Who are some guys that you would point to if someone never watched you and they want to just get a quick synopsis of your game? Who are some guys in the league that you would point to say it's similar to this? This is kind of the flavor that you get.
Yeah, a lot of the guys that I really tried to model my game after is Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, Deebo Samuel, Curtis Samuel. Those are all guys that I really like to watch and model my game after.
Anything in particular about those guys? It's an interesting mix.
Yeah, I would just say their ability to – I would say those guys are very, like, versatile. Mm-hmm. You know, they're able to get fly sweeps, line up outside, run routes, get handoffs. You know, I feel like those are things that I can do and things that I really want to be utilized on the next level as.
That's awesome. Well, Dimitri, I really appreciate you coming on. It's fun watching you, and thanks for being a part of this wide receiver edition of Talking with TD.
Man, thank you so much for having me. I had a great time. It was really nice to talk to you.
For sure.
This is AJ Brown, and you're talking with TD.
I want to let that play for a little bit, but I'm excited about our next guest here. Talking with TD, we got Clemson receiver Cornell Powell. I wanted to use this music as an intro because it's just like a sturdy, hard-hitting, low-key, dope beat, Quiet Storm by Mobb Deep. this is the same thing that Cornell Powell is, man. Just a sturdy, consistent, low-key wide receiver. Cornell, what's going on, man?
What's good? What's good? How y'all doing?
Hey, everything is everything, man. I appreciate you coming on. It's a lot of fun watching you play. And I think, you know, just the way you play the position is outstanding. And I like that. I want to get into that a little bit later. But first things first, looking at Clemson, I mean, this is a school. Nuke Hopkins, Sammy Watkins, Martavis Bryant, T. Higgins. We could go all the way back, you know, to the 90s. Rod Gardner, a lot of receivers, Hunter Renfro, a lot of receivers have come out there. What is it about Clemson that, you know, produces so many solid receivers?
It's just a standard that we have in the room, and it's a mindset that every guy has coming in our room. It's so competitive. You know, every opportunity that you get, you've got to go make the most of it. We say to ourselves, we try to make every 50-50 ball in our room, it's an 80-20 ball.
Mm-hmm.
And just having that mindset to dominate, run or pass the man in front of you, and that just transitions to Saturdays and then eventually to the NFL. So it's been great to carry on that torch of wide receiver you, man, and it's just something that I do with honor and pride.
And I'm sure that that's something that just naturally, hey, I'm at Clemson. It's wide receiver you. I got to carry the torch. But is that something that guys reach back and let you know, hey, you know what, you got to rep us the right way, whether it be Watkins or Nuke Hopkins, whoever?
It's one of those unspoken things.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like one of those you know if you know things. When guys come to Clemson, and like when I went to Clemson out of high school, like I knew the guys before me, they laid the foundation, and I would be doing an injustice if I didn't uphold that standard, and if I didn't, you know, go out there and uphold that wide receiver U standard, and so every game, every opportunity, every moment I got, I did my best to make sure I made those guys proud.
And I'm sure you were eager to go out there and carry on that torch, but you didn't get to do that initially, right? You had to wait your turn, and I thought that was really remarkable, and you finally had to break out this past season. But what was tough and about, you know, waiting your turn the way you did, and what allowed you to do it and not go transfer to Pitt or you know, just to mention a random school? Why did that process work that way?
Just who I am as a person. Never been one to just run away from a competition or run away from a challenge just because it got hard. So just really put my head down and grinded it out, man. I knew that I had the ability and talent to play on this level under the brightest light against the best of the best, and I wanted to prove that to myself. So I stayed and, you know, just stayed in faith as well, and just knew that, you know, God brought me to Clemson for a reason. And, you know, when my opportunity came, I was going to make the most of it.
And we're talking to Clemson receiver Cornell Powell. Cornell, one of the things I saw on your Twitter timeline, you have posted the Dame Lillard quote about, like, not always having the spotlight on you and not forgetting the hard work that you did to get to that point once you finally did have it. What would be an example of some of that hard work that you put in that you will never forget even once you get to the league?
In 2018, when I redshirted, every day, you know, I was going against Trayvon Mullen and A.J. Terrell and DK, and just all the great DBs that we have at Clemson. And when you register, you know, so I'm not playing on Saturdays, but every day I'm working. And, you know, that's just stuff that people didn't see, you know. They didn't see that grind. They didn't see the extra work in the weight room and all that stuff. They didn't see the power hour reps. They didn't see any of that. But that's something that I know I did, and it stuck with me. And it's part of the reason why I had such a great season this year. I feel like when you don't have that big spotlight on you, you know, you're grinding, you got an extra chip on your shoulder. And I feel like I've been having that extra chip on my shoulder since I left high school. And that chip has turned into a boulder. And, you know, when I knew that when the moment came, everyone was going to have to, everyone who looked over me or anything like that was going to have to feel all that aggression that I have built up. So this year, man, that's what it really came down to. I knew that I developed a mindset that no one, whoever stayed in front of me, can really guard me one-on-one. And when you go out there with that mindset, that mentality, you know, it's kind of hard to stop someone.
And what about your bond with Amari Rodgers? I know you guys are close. I watched you guys interact at Pro Day. You spoke very highly of each other on the media session there on SEC Network. What has that bond been like, and how did you guys get so close?
Just over time at Clemson. And, man, he just, his work ethic, it makes you better. It makes you want to be better. Being in the room with him, leading that room together, it was just special, you know. So, and I'm always trying to learn, so I learned from him. And hopefully, you know, I show him some things. And we just, like, we just coexisted, and we just made it a beautiful thing when we got on the field on Saturday.
It's really interesting you said that you learned from him. His pops, right? T. Martin, wide receiver coach, USC, Tennessee, Kentucky, now with the Ravens. When you first got there and saw Rodgers, did it seem like he was not a more advanced route runner than you, but just a more an advanced player, just period?
I wouldn't say that. And I've always been the type of, like, man, like, true joy is when you can sit back and watch your brothers, you know, succeed and eat, and, you know, and you'd be just as happy as if it was you. And that's, like, that's how I felt during my first couple of years. Like, obviously, from a competitive standpoint, I wanted to be out there and contributed and stuff like that. But I knew that, you know, my time would come, you know. And when he first came in, he jumped on the scene. And I was more than excited for him, him making plays, him being doing Amari things, and, you know, so during that time, though, I learned, you know, a lot from him as far as his work ethic, his routines, little ball drills that he does, and all that type of stuff, and stuff like that is what I learned from him, so.
You mentioned work ethic. I saw you down there in Mobile after practice. There were three or four guys over there on the jugs machine, and you two were among them, so I shout you out for that. As we talked about, you waited your time, and then even when it was your time, there was a point where you hit a groove, and I think it started with that BC game, right? 11 receptions, 105 yards. What was it that allowed you to hit that groove towards the end of that season and really just explode the way you did?
It was a combination of a lot of things. Just trust, the confidence, and just, you know, the consistency, the work ethic, the practice, treating practice like it was a game, man, and then having that mentality that, like, everything that comes your way, you have to catch. And then after you catch, you got to do something with it. And like I said, man, just proving to myself, I felt like I was the best on the field every game that I stepped out there. And, you know, so you gotta prove that every game, every week, every day of practice. And that's what I try to do.
And then your two games back-to-back in November, Notre Dame and Pitt, you went over .150. We mentioned all the guys, right? Clemson, wide receiver, you were the third guy to do that, go over 150 back-to-back. So that's something else that we'll make sure that we pinpoint. Now, for me, when I watch you, there's one word, and I put it on Twitter with a clip of your reception on the screen against Notre Dame. And the one word that consistently in my notes and those type of things, when I go back to them for you, is sturdy. So the physicality aspect of the game, how have you been able to introduce that into just the way you play the receiver position?
A lot of times, I know those young receivers, they don't understand, and I didn't really understand it until I got to college, that you can be the aggressor. You can be the one who initiates the contact, and you can be the physical one. You don't have to wait for the defender to put their hands on you, you know? And you can, like, just go out there and really bully them. And at the end of the day, they don't know where you're going. They don't know where you're doing. They're reacting to you, so why not be the aggressor? And when you get that, when the ball gets in your hands, you just gotta turn into a running back, man, and go create the contact and go get the extra yards and go get the do the hard work, do the dirty work and stuff. And so that's really like the mentality that I'm really trying to bring to the receiver position.
I love that, and coincidentally at XPE, Anquan Boldin is the guy that you're working with, so I would imagine that just kind of carried over into your training leading into the NFL.
Absolutely.
The other thing that I like in watching you, right, even like there are times, what game was that? I forget which game it was. You made a one-hand reception. I think it was against Pitt, where you were going down the field, and they're just you and 25, you guys were just, like, he'll put his hand on you, you slap it off, and you just fought through that. And unlike a lot of receivers, you didn't stop and beg for the flag. You just played through it, ended up making a one-hand catch. That determination, where does that come from?
Just having a dog mentality, man. Like, you have to physically impose your will on your defender for four quarters or however long it takes. And so never letting up, never taking a play off, whether it's run or pass. And it's just a mindset that you have to develop as a player at any position. And so that's what I try to do.
Yeah, and your Senior Bowl battles down there in Mobile, DJ Daniels, he was the guy that, you know, you went back and forth with it. It was pretty fun watching. But, again, that physicality continued to show. Jim Nagy, the executive director, he actually, during your pro day, he made a reference. And it really popped out to me. He says Sterling Sharp. And that really, I said, wow, that's lofty praise. Who are some guys that you watch coming up? And what do you think about Jim Nagy saying Sterling Sharp as a guy whose game you remind him of?
It's an honor and a blessing to be compared to or be reminded of one of the greats, man. So definitely don't take that lightly. And Jim, that's my guy. Incredible job he did at the Senior Bowl, just the atmosphere the whole week, from, you know, practice to the game to the interviews. It was so professional, and it was just like, you know, one of the best experiences I had in college. But, like, I studied the game of football, and everyone who plays the position of receiver, just trying to take away from their games and add it to my tool belt. And so, you know, that guys with great footwork like Diggs and Adams, and then Metcalf's aggressiveness, Duke Hopkins, his hands, just catching everything and stuff like that. So just being a student of the game, Keenan Allen route running, Calvin Ridley route running and stuff, just really like studying the game, man, and trying to incorporate it into mine and seeing how I can get better every day. So.
It's interesting you mentioned Adams, Devonta Adams, that is, because that Ohio State game, you went up against Sean Wade and kind of had that crossover release, and you were able to get open pretty well. I mean, he was off balance throughout the whole route, and that was something that went into you scoring a touchdown. For those who somehow don't know what Cornell Powell brings to the table as a football player, how would you – project yourself to someone who hasn't watched you?
I'm someone who's physical, who's fast, aggressive to the ball, great route running, with great hands, and just going to sacrifice and do everything I can for this team to win, man. Someone who's willing to give up his body and block linebackers and safeties or stand up DNs, and then also willing to, you know, lay it all online and go down on special teams and make a tackle or cover a kick or anything like that. So I feel like you're getting the total package with me and an unselfish team player.
And then in closing, this is a Titans show, so I have to ask you, I mean, I would imagine down there at the Senior Bowl you talk to the Titans, but other than that, have they been in contact with you? And if so, how have the meetings gone?
They have, and you know, it's been good. It's been all love, great communication. You know, I had a great meeting with them and stuff. So just taking it one day at a time. And, you know, I'm excited about this process and just enjoying it. But I'm also blessed to be in this situation. So, you know, it's definitely a dream come true.
And, again, I know it's a whirlwind, but do you recall anything that they said to you that stood out as far as, like, what they like about your game?
No, I don't. It was like a minute ago. I was like,
yeah,
a month ago. But I just know that it was a great vibe in the conversation. So
there you go. Well, what's next for you?
Right now, taking some time off. It's been a grind from, you know, last January to this January to start training for combine or pro day and stuff. So just spend some time with the fam. But about to start back working out, and just the waiting game to the draft, man. So.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming on, Cornell. I tell you this, I know they raved about your physique at Pro Day. Whatever team drafts you, when you first meet them, you got to do what DK Metcalf did, man. Walk in there shirtless.
Hey, I will.
Yeah, for sure, man. Real talk, though. I appreciate you, Cornell. Keep plugging away, man. I can't wait to watch you on Sundays.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
For sure.
This is Corey Davis. Are you talking with TD? Where my dog's at?
All right. Back from the break. Here we are talking with TD. We're going to continue this thing, man. You folks, you know I love talking to the receivers. And you heard the intro, Corey Davis, and you're talking with TD. We're going to bring in another WMU standout, Western Michigan, that is. Standout, Dwayne Eskridge. Dwayne, what's going on?
Not too much. Appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, for sure. And I wanted to use that intro specifically for you because I know – you and Corey have a relationship. I talked to you briefly down there at the Senior Bowl about it, and when I mentioned his name, you flashed a big smile. So let's talk about it. Your relationship with Corey Davis, what are some of the things that you've been able to gather from him?
He was my mentor my freshman year of college, you know, so I got to watch him do a lot. Our relationship standpoint, you know, he just taught me how to work the hardest, you know, be a professional before a professional. You know, all the things that he had learned during his college time, you know, he just allowed me to watch and observe and do how he did it, you know, so I just followed behind his footsteps, really.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because, you know, you are a guy, because of your size, people will say, oh, well, he's a slot receiver, a gadget guy, but in watching you, a lot of your damage was done from the outside. So let's get into that. For you as a player, what allows you to be an effective receiver on the outside, lining up over top of those numbers?
I would say just the way I go about it, you know, because I did a lot of things that prepared me for situations outside, you know, a lot of drills, a lot of work when it comes to my hands and my feet, you know. So I just put in a lot of work to it, honestly, you know, and then once I applied that to my game, I just went out there and did my job.
And then looking at your career, right, you got some time as a freshman, you know, and then you moved into, or as a sophomore too, that's when you had a pretty good season as well. And then your junior, this past year, like you just blew up, you know, 23 yards per catch. You have consecutive years of 20 yards average per catch. But what's really interesting to me is the fact that you played some corner too. So tell me about that, just that transition going from receiver to corner, back to receiver.
Yeah, it was definitely a process, you know, a lot that went into it. So yeah, I was approached my true senior year, that for the team and for other circumstances, that I should look into maybe transitioning to a corner, maybe play some both ways and stuff like that. So really, you know, I it was tough for sure. You know, my true senior year, I knew coming in that it was gonna be my breakout wide receiver year. So going with that, but once I just stopped forcing it, you know, and listened to God, you know, and just allowed myself to indulge into Coach Adams, and do kind of what I did at receiver, you know. So we just did a lot of man hours outside of the ones that we were at the stadium. So then, yeah, I was the whole springtime, I was playing corner and wide receiver, switching from white jersey to black jersey, 13 periods, 7-on-7 periods, you know. So I just kept on attacking, really, you know. So, I would say it was fun, though, for sure, playing both ways. I know a lot of people can't say they did that in the game or even at practice, honestly.
Right.
So it was a great experience.
I know the preparation had to be crazy.
Yeah, it wasn't so bad because I had the offense down.
Okay.
Since I understood, since I've been playing that for the last 3 years. So it really wasn't too much there in terms of always having to study and do that stuff. So I just really had to focus on defense and then go perform on offense.
And we're talking to Dwayne Eskridge, playmaker. I'm just calling you playmaker, but you know, wide receiver is kind of your calling card out of Western Michigan. Getting back to that whole cornerback thing against receiver, a lot of guys do that in different time periods. You did it at the same time. How were you able to kind of weigh, just okay, as a corner I would do this, so as a receiver I want to do that, and vice versa?
Mm-hmm. It, it wasn't too bad. Playing corner actually helped me at wide receiver more than it did at corner. So it worked hand to hand, really, you know, because I already had physicality, so like beating blocks and all that stuff. I just had to learn more techniques, tackling. I was willing to tackle, so it wasn't too much time spent in that. It was just getting the rhythm down and basically getting the consistency down, playing the corner position, because I didn't always have to be explosive or as powerful as I was at wide receiver. So then on the other hand, playing receiver, you know, I just kept in my craft. You know, I spent a lot of time at the facility during the summer and after spring ball just perfecting the craft. I knew exactly what I needed to work on. So I just kept at that, really. And then, you know, everything came together. You know, I was always attacking. I never really let it beat me down or anything like that.
No doubt. And then going back to high school, I know you played some running back in high school, but you were a sprinter, a very good one too. So just moving that speed into your game, you know, you catch that slant and it's curtains, right? You find a seam and you're gone. How are you able to transfer like and really showcase your speed on the field?
Yeah, it's really, you know, I don't really think too deep into it because it's kind of natural to me. So once I get the ball, I'm automatically thinking score. You know, what's the quickest way? You know, I'm definitely a one-cut guy. I don't spend too much time dancing. It's either use physicality or I'm going to use one move. So as soon as I make that quick decision and I see it, then I'm just taking off. You know, God bless me with a lot of speed and power to be able to run away from doors.
You were a state track champ. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was Mr. Indiana Track and Field my senior year.
100-meter dash. What were your times?
The 110.5, 221.3, and then I think at the state meet, I jumped like a 23.11 and some quarters, something like that.
Okay, so you were doing it all. I like that. I like that. And then just kind of spinning through Western Michigan and then into the Senior Bowl, one of the things I really noticed, man, you and DBs, you guys were battling. I really like your battles with TJ Graham, but just in those one-on-ones, how were you able to – you know, pull some of the things that you developed over the years into that and excel that way?
Really just, you know, I've been working out here with Randy Moss the time before the Senior Bowl and after. But, you know, just working with him, he has a lot of wisdom when it comes to wide receiver because he coaches just like he played. Mm-hmm. So really I was very more prepared than I would say our group that went down there. We were more prepared than any other wide receiver groups. So I just knew exactly what I needed to do going down there. You know, I had a plan for everything. When it came to my releases, I was always everywhere I go, I'm thinking catch every ball, no matter what, where it's at, just to showcase that always. So I was just present, really. You know, I wasn't forcing some. I didn't win every rep, but I wasn't tripping because I know I could get better from that rep. But, you know, just being really showing what type of leader I am and how much I want to get better. So just doing that, you know, it made everything easier.
And you were one of the big names going into that week, and you obviously showed why. But for you, just looking back on it, how do you feel you kind of made your mark and stamped your name on that Senior Bowl?
Oh, yeah. I definitely feel like I stamped it. But at the same time, you know, some of the stuff that I did, you know, I'm always critiquing, trying to get 1% better. So, you know, I'm ready to showcase that I learned from the mistakes that I made at the Senior Bowl. So really, you know, it was just a good growth time. I'm definitely proud of how I performed, you know, but it's still more work to do. So, you know, I don't really just dwell too much into the Senior Bowl anymore.
Right. And then one of the other things that stands out to me is your route running, right? There's a lot of nuance to it. You know, I see you using head fakes. I see you using your eyes to move the corners and these type of things. I love the way you showcase your speed on comebacks and curls and those type of things. And then you throttle down, you snap back. Where does that route maturity, so to speak, where does that come from?
Definitely people that I've worked with. My position coach, we like during quarantine, we really attacked ball drills and when it came to my feet, you know, so I was just a product of all the work that I had put in this last offseason. And then the other people that I worked with, like Randy, and some people back at school. So, you know, it was really just me showcasing all the stuff that I was kind of taught, really. I just went out there and executed the plan.
And I would be remiss if I didn't mention the return aspect that you bring. And I always like talking to guys that return punts, you know, because there's different ways to look at it. You got some guys who just, you know, they lock in on the ball, they catch it and go. Others, you know, their eyes on the ball, then look at the coverage, ball, and then back to coverage one last time, and then back to the ball. How do you approach the punt return? What's the art of your punt return ability?
I'm a running back at heart for sure. I feel like I play the wide receiver position like a running back. So really, you know, I just kind of I catch the ball and then I see what's in front of me and then I attack that. I don't take too much time just trying to decipher everything, every block that I need to get. You know, I just look at the first block that I need to go and then everything else from there, you know, it's just the speed of the game.
And you mentioned Randy Moss, and so I would imagine you're down there with Yo Murphy too, right?
Yep.
Okay. I know Demetric Felton is with you, but who are some of the other guys that you're down there working with?
Biz Fitzpatrick, Trey Dukes. It was a pretty good corner group as well.
Okay.
And then Devontae Smith, he's down here. It's probably about a group of about 7-8 of us. And, you know, we all kind of reflect each other too. So, you know, it was great competition the whole time. That's why I think a lot of people got better during our time. It's great.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. What do you think is the biggest benefit of working with all those guys? Would you kind of answer that, the competition? How much are you guys, like, what are some of the ways you guys are pushing each other?
Really, in every aspect, you know. Like, if you're a competitor, you don't like losing in any type of way, form or matter. So, you know, just always competing, even if it's in the prep, whatever it is, you know, we always compete in a good way. So, you know, it was always great energy. You know, it was never any bad energy when it came to guys not wanting to work out or doing this. You know, every guy was up here was motivated to know exactly what we need to do to get to where we want to go to.
And we're talking to Dwayne Estridge, Western Michigan wide receiver. Dwayne, the other thing I wanted to ask you was just the mental side of it. You know, Felton, he mentioned how there's a lot of mental work that you guys are doing down there. For you, what's your interpretation of that?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of the mental. That's what's gonna make you last, really. You know, being smart within the position. You know, especially being with Randy. You know, he's very detailed when it comes to routes, when it comes to separation, when it comes to leverage, when it comes to break points, eyes, the way that we run. You know, so he's implementing everything that we need that's made up of like how the NFL is run. You know, we're running NFL drills already. So, you know, just doing that, you know, we're definitely going to be a little bit more advanced than some of our peers that's coming with us just because of who we're training with.
Yeah, I like that. And then just watching you play, you know, I always like to talk to you guys about players that you may have watched and who do you see has aspects of your game. And for me, you know, when I watch you, I get a Brandon Cooks vibe, you know, because I like the way, despite – you know, not being the biggest guy, you excel on the outside. You attack the football. There are multiple plays where I've seen you attack the ball. Yards after the catch, everything is really good. Who are some of the guys that you've watched coming up?
I was a big Steve Smith fan. I love Steve Smith. My favorite player, my role model really was Adrian Peterson, since I always played running back. You know, but I always liked Marvin Harris, Reggie Wayne. Players like that when I was younger. But as I get older, you know, I just try to look at players that's a little bit different than myself and players that kind of emulate what I want to do as well. You know, so I watch a variety of different players. One of my favorite ones to watch last year was LaVisca Chenault. I watched his highlight tape probably every single week, just seeing how he attacked the ball, how he runs after the catch. He has a bigger frame, but I feel like our mentalities are a little bit similar.
Man, you like dogs. I see that. So I guess that DMX, Where My Dogs At, I guess that was appropriate intro music for you, huh?
Yeah, for real.
But, you know, going back to Steve Smith, and I like that you mentioned him because one of the underrated aspects of his game is blocking downfield. And, you know, I've seen you do that, right? And again, going back, not the biggest guy, but very willing to block. How much of an aspect of that game is something that's underrated, and how important is it for you to – do that at the next level?
Yeah, that's definitely going to be important. You know, you gotta be an all-phase receiver. You can't just either catch the ball. You got to be able to run after the catch. And then at the same time, you got to be able to block when it's not your number called. So, you know, I definitely pride myself on that. There's still some area of growth that I need to implement in my game of blocking. You know, but I'm definitely willing to block. You know, it's crazy, but last year, you know, and the years prior, you know, I fell in love with blocking a little bit. You know, I just like the physicality of it. So yeah, I'm definitely willing to block for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's funny because I played receiver. I played D1 AA and then Division II. And I remember we used to always keep track of our pancake blocks as receivers. You know, we used to call them Plaxicos after Plaxico Burress, you know. And it all starts with being willing as a blocker. And it definitely sounds like that's what you are. As you're going through this process, like I know you're meeting with a lot of teams because you're a very good player. You're someone that teams desire to, you know, to get more information on. Do you recall any meeting with the Titans or any, and if so, anything stand out about it?
I think that's coming up in the future because there's a lot of them that hit me up during this time, but I'm moving around a lot, still taking a lot of interviews, and then pro day's coming up. So I think I'm scheduled for them later on. I think I'm scheduled for them.
Okay. Well, their position coach, Rob Moore, he played receiver, so you could drop a couple nuggets on him, telling you saw how – he led the league in receiving in 1997. You know what I'm saying? Get that good inside track. But, yeah, Dwayne, man, I really appreciate you, man. So you say, yeah, pro day is coming up. When is pro day?
March 25th.
March 25th. What do you expect to run?
My goal is to run a 4.29.
Okay. Hey, man, I'm not going to doubt it. You know what I mean? I see the speed on the field. So, again, man, I appreciate you. Wish you the best going forward, and who knows, you might end up here in Nashville, and you could even wear 84, the number that Corey Davis wore here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Really, most definitely. Yeah, I definitely appreciate you having me on.
For sure, man. Take care.
Yeah, you as well.
All right.